This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, January 25th. I'm Gavin Dahl. An investment group called Two Forks Club has awarded significant no-interest loans to farms and food businesses in the North Fork Valley. Based in the Roaring Fork Valley, Two Forks Club makes 0% interest loans to community farmers and food entrepreneurs based on slow food principles. The Delta County Independent reports awardees of the over $100,000 include Alyssa Barsanti of Marigold Livestock and Deer Tree Farm and Agroforest in the Hotchkiss area. Top Fruits in Hotchkiss will use their loan to purchase on-site refrigeration. Mountain Harvest Bakery will buy a grain mill, allowing the bakery to source local grains, circulating the funding back into the local community. Colorado's Greenhouse Gas Pollution Reduction Roadmap, released by Governor Jared Polis this month, is coming under fire from some environmentalists. The Colorado Sun reports 350 Colorado released their own report with vastly different numbers on greenhouse gases. Instead of the 17% emissions that the roadmap says oil and gas is responsible for in the state, 350 Colorado says it's more like 70%. The differences are due to the self-reporting of methane leaks by the industry, which critics say is underreported. The activist group also says the report from the state ignores emissions of oil and gas produced in Colorado but exported out of state. Other critics of the plan say it doesn't do enough to provide environmental justice. Xcel Energy is looking ahead at how to mitigate this year's wildfire season. The Public Utilities Commission is requiring the company to develop a comprehensive plan for future projects. Xcel wants customers to pay, according to the Colorado Sun. While the cost is relatively small, less than 1% of a bill's monthly total, groups representing consumers and businesses say Xcel should spread out some of the financial burden for this work to shareholders and not just customers. Last year was the worst wildfire season in history. And another staffer has left Congresswoman Lauren Boebert's office. Colorado teenager Weston Eimer resigned from his paid internship after just 6 days. Citing his family's concerns for his safety, 17-year-old Eimer is returning to Colorado from D.C. Prior to working for Boebert, Eimer managed his mother's unsuccessful campaign for the State House. Colorado is responding to complaints that COVID-19 vaccines are given disproportionately more to white residents in wealthier neighborhoods. Scott Franz reports for Capital Coverage.
The state health department says it will soon require all vaccine providers to report demographic data, including the race and ethnicity of people getting the shots. Other efforts include new multilingual advertisements and pop-up clinics in minority and low-income communities. Rick Palacio leads a vaccine equity task force.
We want to make sure that we are increasing and improving and demystifying vaccine access so that there is less and less vaccine hesitancy.
Governor Jared Polis says data showing inequity in the first weeks of distribution is, quote, unacceptable. He says the state will take aggressive steps to break down barriers to access the vaccine. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Colorado regulators proposed early closures for 3 coal-fired power plants to improve air quality and fight climate change, then did a 180 on the decision a month later. Jody Peterson has more on the proposal and why it was abandoned. This story was produced as part of our collaborative project reporting on the impacts of fossil fuels coordinated by the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition.
Last November, Colorado air quality regulators said that they would order 3 coal-fired power plants to close a year earlier than planned to reduce haze and greenhouse gas emissions. Environmental groups rejoiced at the prospect. A month later, though, the regulators abruptly abandoned the proposal. Now, Craig Unit 3 in Moffat County, the Rawhide plant in Larimer County, and the Ray-Nixon plant in El Paso County will remain open until 2030. Instead of closing by the end of 2028. Michael Hyatt is a staff attorney for the nonprofit Earth Justice.
I think it really was a big missed opportunity to take a positive step forward.
The 3 utility companies that own the plants, Tri-State Generation and Transmission, Platte River Power Authority, and Colorado Springs Utilities, had announced earlier this year that they would voluntarily retire the plants by 2030. They cited fundamental shifts in the energy industry and state requirements for greenhouse gas reductions, which call for utilities to cut their emissions by 80% in the next 10 years. At the same time, state regulators were working on plans to reduce regional haze, which obscures views around national parks and wilderness areas. 2 environmental groups, the National Parks Conservation Association and the Sierra Club, intervened in the haze rulemaking and suggested an alternative that would close 5 of Colorado's coal-fired power plants by the end of 2028. Again, Hyatt of Earth Justice.
Accelerating these retirement deadlines would result in better scenic views, Colorado's national parks and wilderness areas, and public health benefits by cleaning up the air. It would result in additional and quicker greenhouse gas reductions, and it would also save Coloradans millions of dollars.
The Colorado Air Quality Control Commission agreed with the suggestion and proposed moving the closure dates up by 1 year for 3 of the plants. But the utilities pushed back. They declined to comment for this story, but in a statement filed with the commission, they contended that the commission lacked the authority to force them to shut down the plants more quickly. The Colorado Energy Office also chimed in, raising concerns about power supply reliability and economic impacts. When the Air Quality Commission met in December, they decided to walk back the early closure proposal, saying that they'd had incomplete information. The commissioners were also under intense pressure from the utility companies, says Stephanie Kodish, Senior Director for Clean Air and Climate with the National Parks Conservation Association.
In the course of the proceeding, industry made very clear that they were opposed to our alternative. They didn't have any substantive reason or justification. They just preferred their own voluntary measures as opposed to ones that were a bit more aggressive and would achieve far more substantial benefits.
Elise Jones is a member of the Air Quality Control Commission. She disagreed with the decision to drop the early closure requirements and says the commission does have the authority to take such measures.
The commission has pretty broad and clear statutory authority to take action to improve and protect Colorado's air quality. And typically when we do that, we don't ask polluters when they would like to stop polluting. We do what is necessary to protect air quality as long as it's technically feasible and cost-effective.
Despite the objections of the utilities, moving the ending date up by 1 year wouldn't have impeded the closure planning that they had to do anyway, says Hyatt.
It's merely a nudge, not a shove, towards a clean energy transition. The fact that that's still 8 years out provides ample time to ensure we have a smooth transition.
In the meantime, it's clear that coal plant closures will continue as market forces and consumer demand push utilities toward renewable energy. For example, Xcel Energy owns 2 coal-fired plants that the Air Quality Control Commission also planned to consider early this year for accelerated closure. Instead, Xcel announced on January 4th that it plans to move up the closure dates of those Northwest Colorado plants on its own. Hayden Unit 1 will now be shuttered in 2028, 2 years ahead of schedule. And Hayden Unit 2 will close down in 2027, 9 years earlier than planned. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson reporting.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redman, and thank you for supporting local, independent public media.